The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. Welcome back, folks. Red Pill Politics. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Please do head over to the site. Check out other great and exciting programs that are there. I'm sure there's other things to your liking. Share them around. Share the love, okay? Hit that donation button. We are listener-funded here. We do need some resources to keep things going. We're on tough times, as always, and for those people that can give, I recommend that you do. For those that can't, you shouldn't. I mean, that's just the way it is. There's people out there, and God bless you, that they'll give you the shirt off their back. You know, help us in another way. Share the link around. Try extra hard to get the, you know, to share RBN with the rest of the world. Let them know we're out here. And, you know, do what you can. If you can contribute, again, large or small, that $5 a month, for those that do the budgeting and really do all the hard work, I got to tell you, people like me, I come on for 2 hours a week. I do a show and, oh, that's all great. No one talks about Sam and the guys behind the scene right now as I speak that make this happen. There's a lot of hard work that goes on at this station to keep the lights on and the sound flowing. And things are tough. I got to tell you, it's lean for everybody. So when you are making those decisions on paying the bills, to be able to sit down as someone who manages a budget, you can appreciate those little contributions, even if it's $5 a month. You can budget for that. You know, that they know what services that, you know, the current ones they got to sustain. If there's an opportunity to expand into a new market, you know, but those little contributions count too. So that's the moral of my story. Give if you can and share the love. And there's always great deals and specials going on over at RBN every month. There's a new special. So, you know, check back often. You know, you may bump into something you like this month. There's always a book of the month. Got to go there to find out and see what's going on. Support however you can. Let's get back to it. New York is a festering mess. My prediction is it's going to slide into civil unrest probably this summer. It could very well and would, if given the current trends, things keep going the way they are. It's going to happen naturally. There's busting at the seams. All that is good is fleeing. All that is bad and unstable is putting down noxious roots. So, yeah, it's a predictable outcome of a poor policy, I guess, right? But at the same time, they've greased the skids. They, being the federal government and the deep state, have created an environment that is itself unstable in all of its individual components. Now, you think of government, the United States, the Constitution, is being like a table and the legs of the table. I mean, can you kick a leg of a table out like the Second Amendment? You know, how many legs of a table can you kick out before it cannot sustain its own weight? the strength of the Constitution through the power of the people is enormous when the integrity of the Constitution is maintained. It is an imperfect document, right? We could spend 6 months worth of shows going into the history of the Constitution as it came into being, other governing documents that were in place at the time. But the reality is, we have got a Constitution right now that if we, the people, instituted all the tools that were given to us, and we didn't cower. Because they've made their enormous progress only because we stood in fear when the government said, you can't do that. You can't speak out against our narrative. You can't think that way. You can't speak that way. You can't own that type of firearm. Due process is what we tell you due process is. So the strength is in the whole of the Constitution. It doesn't matter if you've got a First Amendment, if you don't have due process. It doesn't matter if you have a Second Amendment, if it all works together. And it all must be recognized by government, because right now they're rogue. And the people don't seem to be quite ready to stop them. I think that America's plan right now is to wait for it to actually crumble and burn down. And then everyone fights to, when the dust settles, to see who's clutching the golden ring. Okay, is that what America's plan is? Are you not brave enough to stand now? You got to wait for everything, literally everything that we fought for, all that future that we promised our kids and our grandkids. We got to watch it crumble so that we can start from the rubble that's left. I don't know. I say you put your hands back on the wheel, start at every level, take your local governments back. Like here in Massachusetts, the GOP, such starry-eyed little optimists they are. They still think they're going to go out and do meaningful battle in resisting the progressives, yet they can't even get the progressives out of their own party. I mean, is that? I don't know. What do you call that? How do you? You don't reason through something like that. I mean, you really got some rose-colored glasses on if you think you're going to march forward with all those problems, the sources of the problems as being part of your solution, or being allowed to exist, allowed to continue. Yeah, you got to get rid of their own national committee men. They got to get rid of half of their state committee before they can even think about offering resistance to the progressives. Right? Resistance to the progressives actually starts with douching out their own party. Period. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. And I know I got Republican friends in Massachusetts who just cringe when I say that. But, it's the truth. And the sooner people wake up to it, acknowledge it, that's the biggest part of it, man. Because when you are at peace with the reality of the situation, it allows you to move forward in a way that, you're dealing with reality. You can put together an actual plan based on the facts of the matter. When you're working on lies and falsities, well, not so much. The plan you put together is skewed. It's based in inaccurate information and therefore will not get you where you want to be. So, yeah, just tell the people the truth. We're all adults. We can handle it. We can process that. And it's the only way you're going to put together a feasible plan that actually will work. But, you know, start local. Seriously, start local. Because there is plenty of political rot right in your own state. Right in your own party, if you want to play in party politics. I've given that up. I stay committed to the Constitution Party, and yeah, that's my future. I charted my own course, and it's strictly around the Constitution. I don't know. I've got a caller on the line, Chance from West Virginia. How are you today, Chance?
Yeah, hello. So let's see. Social workers instead of cops, and the city's full of knuckle-dragging barbarians. You know, I could just see them sending some mousy little libtard white girl with a liberal arts degree to go knock on Jose's door and say, can we sit down over a cup of tea and discuss why you bashed Maria's head in because she overcooked and burnt your chimichanga? So now you got two dead bodies, Maria and Susie the social worker. That's how that's going to play out.
It's not going to work, and they know it. We've allowed psychiatrists and social workers to just permeate almost every aspect of our lives. I mean, if you think about it, Chance, every time someone hits the slightest little roadblock in life, the littlest challenge, I mean, they like fall apart. They're wilted daisies. They got to go in for counseling. You know, they feel microaggressed against or something. But we've become such a society of little limp noodles that they can't handle occasional conflict or sadness or anything.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it just shows they don't give a flying crap about Maria or their own little Susie the social worker. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, thank you now.
All right. You know, the whole idea of these social workers really, I don't know. Yeah, here's what I think. There's some folks that really do need, they just need another human being sometimes just to vent on, just to talk things out and talk things through. All right, many times they're able to, you know, actually reason this stuff out and calm down, and they benefit from that. I give that. However, there's an entire industry that is developed around mental health issues. And again, I go back to what I mentioned in the beginning of the show about the 45 goals of communism. That is one of them. To dominate the psychiatric industry. So it could, and this was a classic tool of Hitler, was to portray his enemies as mentally deficient. And again, there's examples of this around us. But yeah, our society has become so hypersensitive that they've been conditioned. And it's in schools. It starts in the schools. I remember we had a guidance counselor, a single guidance counselor, that if you had a problem, you know, you could go there and talk to him. He was like a mediator sometimes, you know, that in between a conflict that arises with a student or a couple of students in, you know, that dreaded trip to the principal's office. You know, sometimes a guidance counselor was in there as a mediator to try to calm things down and get everyone playing nice together again. Well, now it's nothing like that. You mentioned in there, like with the gender cult, the mere mention that, oh, yeah, I might be a girl, says little Johnny, or vice versa. Oh, okay. Well, come on over here. I want you to meet, counselor sprinkle pants over here, and you'll be just fine. Everything. Now, when you get people like this and you put them on medications, you perpetuate the feelings that they're having. You don't help them reason through it, whether it's gender related or anything. It applies systemically to whatever. But when they come in, and this counselor really is just interested in getting through that billable hour, scheduling you for next week, and doing it all over again, they perpetuate it. They let you be the victim, and they feel bad, and they empathize with you. It's not you. It's not you that's not processing this right. So we're just going to perpetuate it. And here's some pills. This may numb that sensation that you have, so you don't feel that way. Have they fixed anything, though? I say no. I say they've actually created a dangerous situation. I've said this before. I see the little lights go off. People will sit there and nod and agree, oh, yeah, a lot of people on, psychiatric medications and therapies, and, a lot of them out there, and there are. There's a lot of medicated people. And I suggest to them, I said, you better hope that the day never comes where there is such unrest and instability that the pharmacies close for some reason. Remember all those movies about zombies in the streets? There they are. There's your zombies. What do you think is going to happen to a society full of people who have not learned how to cope? That's what a good counselor would do, is identify the problem, the little mental gap here, and help work through with them so that they process these things in their life that give them angst, that they're able to cope. Look at the situation, reason through it, process it, and work their way through. All right, to cope. I use that word very intentionally. And that's not what counselors do. Again, they empathize. They want to make sure that your billable hour is billable, in that they can schedule you for another billable hour. Keep your script full. All right, when they can't go and talk to somebody and have someone tell them how to process their thoughts and, make sure they're taking their meds, what's going to happen to these people when they're truly on their own? Because I submit to you that your counselor is out there, when things go awry, they're not going to worry about whether you got your meds or have somebody to talk to. A whole country full of them. It's coming. Folks, learn how to cope and deal with these things. All right, there's always going to be roadblocks in life. And the very last thing I think you want to do is depend on somebody else to help you reason through that. It's good to have a friend to lean on, but don't depend on a counselor. And don't depend on a pill, because it may not always be there. You yourself are going to have to be able to figure this out. And if you're in a situation where everything around you feels like a threat and you vapor lock, you've got to change your stance on things. And like I said, deal with this yourself. Don't leave that. It's too important to put in the hands of a counselor or in a bottle of pills. Got another caller on the line, Earl from Texas. How are you today, Earl?
I'm doing very well, Dave. I appreciate you taking my call. I would like to swing back over to the trucking issue going into New York City.
Okay.
Many years ago, back in the 70s, I used to run into Hunts Point Market. There is where the big distribution center is for, produce. And if a company is forced dispatch having you go in there, well, of course you have no choice unless you come down with a cold. Other than that, if it's a non-force dispatch, you could turn down the loads all day and until you pick the load that you want to have, and you can steer away from New York City or New York itself. I don't care, up in Buffalo or wherever. But
The larger places in the union truckers? The independents are different, right?
Yeah, yes. Generally, I never was union. I was independent. Generally, the union drivers, I believe, are force dispatched, or they offer you a load. You can turn it down, but something else will come up, and eventually you're going to have to take something. Now, you don't have to pick up a load if you don't want to. If you're independent, you don't have to pick up a load if you don't want it. You can go where you want to go. Let me just say this also. Going back in the day when I used to trailer truck, I got off the road in 92. I did it for 20 years. But there's a lot of money that trucks pay to get into New York City. We're talking a lot of money. So that would hit the city and New York itself in the pocketbook tremendously. If you had 100 trucks a day not go there, you're talking a lot of money.
Tell me something. One of the things that I'm hearing, because I noticed the truckers were saying, listen, we're not dumping on you guys if you happen to take a load or whatever. And, you know, because everyone's got to do what they got to do. They got to feed their family, too. But what is happening, though, is it appears that as these loads are being declined and refused, that the ones that are placing the order are now putting like bounties, if you will, saying we'll pay an extra 30% if you'll bring this load to New York. And people are doing it, you know, when they, you know, sweeten the pot, truckers are taking these loads. But that doesn't mean New York's off the hook, because this translates, as you know, you can't pay 30% more without passing that on to the consumer. So this is eventually going to price them out. They can't keep paying extortion fees to get product and service into New York. Without that translating into eventually just being cost prohibitive.
Right. Because eventually people won't be able to pay for whatever product is there that, you know, went up 30%.
Right.
Now, it's kind of a complex issue, but it's simple at the same time. Years ago when I was trailer trucking, it used to be the common thought that if we shut things down for 3 days, the whole system will cave in and we could restart again. But the problem is, in any industry, but the industry that I was in, you may have the union drivers go on strike. Independents won't, because there's no need to. Independent carriers, and no need to. Or vice versa. So there's never any real true bond, any true unity. Now, I recall I was coming up out of Richmond, Virginia years ago when there was a strike on, and I was in it all the way up into Baltimore, and it took a long while because the slower the convoy goes, you know, the more time is ate up. But anyway, that's a side issue. But anyhow, going back to what I was talking about, there's no unity, basically, throughout the country at that particular time. Now I see a little bit different. Of course, I've been off the road over 30 years now. But anyhow, I don't want to babble on, but I do appreciate you taking my call, sir.
All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend, and good luck with things. The truckers, boy, are quite instrumental in all of this. In the convoy that happened a couple of years ago, and interacting with many of the truckers there, I realized that they have done a number of things over the years very similar. You know, the the boycotts do work and have an effect. But here's the thing is, you mentioned that word boycott, and you're definitely putting yourself in the line of fire. I know somebody, started out as a local issue. He had a house right next door to where there was a Dunkin' Donuts, and their trucks used to show up 2, 3, 4 in the morning and be idling there, and they had an idling ordinance in town. And granted, I'm not a big fan of lots of policy ordinance and code and all that crap, but they did have on the books an ordinance that you couldn't leave your truck idling for more than, I think, 15 minutes. So this thing would be idling for hours and hours and hours right outside his window. So he got the exhaust and the rattling windows for hours and hours and hours, and 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. So he complained, and he did everything nicely. He went to the store and complained, fell on deaf ears, went to the town and complained, fell on deaf ears. And it just escalated to the point that he put up a Facebook page calling for a boycott. And people started listening to it. Said, the guy's right. He's the one that's got to live there. He pays in taxes, and that's his house. He has a right to enjoy it. There's an ordinance that says they can't do that. And people started to pay attention to it. And what happened? Did Dunkin' Donuts do the right thing? No. No, the feds showed up at his house, took him to court, made him take down his boycott page, and said that he was interfering with commerce. That's right. And then he was banned from every Dunkin' Donuts in the country. That's what happened. But yeah, boycotts. You mentioned that boycott word, and you could have the feds knocking on your door for interfering with commerce. What a kick in the pants that is. All right. The same government here. All right. They just told every business in the country to shut down. All right, they got the mandate of the Commerce Clause, keep commerce regular, and they shut it down themselves. They interfered with commerce, among one of the violations of many. Oh, my goodness, folks. We got another caller on the line here. Let's see what we got. Yes, Andy from Texas. How are you today, Andy?
Dave, thanks for taking my call. I'll tell you straight up, I mean, I know you're an advocate for voting, and we actually think that that's going to work and stuff, but just think of the candidates that you have to vote for. I mean, they don't give us anybody. I mean, Ron Paul, okay, that's the closest we could get to some normal person in the world and stuff, but you can't get some guy named Steve from flipping Nebraska who has some really good ideas, and so we can't get these guys. They won't let us have them. There's a certain amount of stuff that you have to do to get even on the ballot and stuff. We can't get the average Joe to be a president in our United States, and so it just really bugs me that people are going, oh, it's Donald Trump, he's our best bet. Okay, maybe he is, but that's the lesser of two evils, and it's still evil. And we're going to vote for that and whatnot. So, I mean, where are you set with that stuff? I mean, I understand politics is, a big part of our world right now. The leaders of our, they set the standard once they're in office. But where do you set with that, Dave? Where do you set with that is, give me somebody, right?
Well, that's a good question, all right, and it's one that comes up quite often. And I do advocate for civic participation here. The problem is, there's a couple of things, a few points that have to be made. No one person, I don't care if Trump gets in there or not, he is not going to be the solution. To me, he is the turd in the punch bowl. He's the rock that's just been thrown into the pond that's just as smooth as glass. He's the giant boulder that someone just threw in there to cause some ripples. And I expect that he is going to cause instabilities throughout the system that will shake loose opportunities, Andy, where you and I can go in to our town hall and cut out the worm in our apple. He is going to create opportunity. He's not the solution. He's going to create that political entropy. All right, entropy. The definition of that is organized chaos, if you will. It's like an organic chemistry term that I'm recalling here. But political entropy, where things are shaken up so bad that all of their rotten little plans that they had are starting to dissolve. All of their little partnerships are starting to destabilize and like cockroaches run for the darkness. So by voting, and as many people of us voting as possible, this is a fact. All right, I'm not wearing rose-colored glasses here, but it is a fact that the more people that participate in the actual election and cast a ballot makes it that much more difficult for election rigging. All right, just stay with me, Andy. I want to fully answer your question. It's a good question, but stay on the line there, Andy. We'll pick up right after the break. It's Red Pill Politics. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these short messages. Living them words. Swear I spend more Sundays drunk off my ass than I have in church. Hardcover King James, only been saving dust on the nightstand. And I don't know what to say. By the time I fold my hands, I only talk to God when I need a favor.
True. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats. And even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
And you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you're just tuning into the show, where the hell you been? Probably forgot to set your clocks here, daylight savings time. So please do set your clocks ahead if you haven't already. Spring ahead, fall back, yep. Remember. We are talking with Andy from Texas right now, and he's called me on very important things. He says, man, you talk about voting an awful lot. What you like about this voting stuff? And I'd like to give a complete answer to that. I started before the break, and I mentioned that it is a statistical fact that when more people vote, the greatest number of people vote at an election, it exposes fraud. I mentioned this several times in the past when campaigns are hammering out their strategy. They spend big money on data and manipulating that data to find the top 4% of the voters who are the most active voters, and they will target them in their campaign material. And then what exists at the bottom of this bell curve are those people that never vote. So if you're running a righteous campaign, you don't want to contact someone who's not going to vote, right? Well, the people that rig elections, that's the cream on the top. They said these people are not likely to show up at the polls. So when they fill in these mail-in ballots, when van loads of people drive from one polling precinct to another, to another, to another, they're assuming the names of these people. That's what they're doing. So it exposes it. But one of the, we have got to be persistent in this. Chip away, we're never going to, in one election cycle, all of a sudden surge all the patriots that we need. You know, what in the heck do we do? You don't quit. You keep going. You keep going. You may lose the election, but that doesn't mean you don't run somebody again. You keep chipping away, because ultimately we have got to get enough patriots back with their hands on the wheel at all levels. I'm telling you now, if you're putting all your wagering everything on Trump, and that's it, you're going to cast your vote. He's going to get in, and Trump will in fact fix everything. All right, it's the difference, I think, between a headshot and a gut wound. All right, you're going to die just slower. So you've got to find the patriots in your community. They're going to boot out these progressives. All right, progressives are sick, demonic, cult-like, antithetical to the Constitution. They are enemies of the state, irredeemable. There's some classic liberals out there. You know, and they just keep their heads down and let this happen. But I'll tell you right now, you know, the progressives, they're a cult. And they must be eradicated from government. So as we get in, we've got to change our election laws. I'm opposed to the Article 5 convention. That whole notion is evidence that the election system is broken. But we have term limits literally every election cycle. If you don't like somebody, you get together and say, hey, community, we need someone different. Who do we put forward? Hoist that person, that patriot, on your shoulders. Put them forward and replace them. But they can't. We can't get people out of there with a crowbar right now. The Chuck Schumers, the Nancy Pelosi's, that made a career out of politics and selling our values out. So it's a broken system, and it's got to be repaired. So I advocate for voting, because it exposes election fraud, and we have got to continue the march to get integrity back in our elections again, because the democracy part of our republic is horribly broken. So it's not, I advocate voting not because I'm wearing rose-colored glasses and think that Trump or anyone like him is going to solve it by our vote. It is just a never-ending march. Yeah, it's daunting. I wish I could say there was a quick fix, Andy, to a lot of this, that we could take a pill and fix it, but there's not. It took generations, literally generations of apathy to land us here. How do we fix it overnight? I don't think there is such a thing. Do you? And what's our role in it? That's my question back to you, is what do you think our role in it is?
Well, no. So, Dave, so it's a great flipping role here.
The point is do we have enough time to do anything? And you're right. We should start with our local school boards, our local the mayorship and all this stuff. Yeah, but do we have enough time? That's the thing that's bothering me right now is that people who think that there's a political solution to this stuff, is there enough time that we can actually do any of this? Yeah,
and that's the scary part. But didn't people 20 years ago say that? Didn't, you know, 2 decades ago, weren't people saying, I don't think we got enough time? But that was 20 years ago. At some point, we got to say that we may not have. God didn't guarantee us, today. You know, we were blessed with it. Our feet hit the floor. We're not guaranteed even tomorrow. So, yeah, we don't know. We got to have faith, I guess, in ourselves and our countrymen, and that we can write it if we want to. How do we inspire? How do we light that fire of liberty in the hearts of man? That's, I think, what the question is. I think it's there. How do we fan that flame again and stand with me, brother, stand with me, sister, and make it happen in the numbers that we need?
But then, and on the same token, though, why do we need government at all? Why don't we just set up our own communities? I mean, because I'm staying out here with Alan from Texas as well, from Republic of Texas Radio. I'm staying out here. And there's tons of people that live in there's not a whole lot of people, but there's a bunch of people that have a lot of land out here and stuff. We could make our own little society here if we really wanted to. If we could get people together, we could do that. And that's probably not going to happen, but that's something that probably should happen because we no longer need our government. Our government does not represent us at all. Hey, even your city government, your county government, they don't represent you at all. They represent what they want to do. These are the ideas that they came up with. This is what they want to do next. And it has nothing to... They never put it to a vote. And that's another thing. Direct democracy. I think our buddy who does the journal up there in New England or whatnot, he's like, I'm for direct democracy. If you guys want to do something, put it to the vote to everybody. But you know what? It just costs too much. So, you know, knowing what people really want in their lives, it costs too much to find it out. Yeah.
Direct democracy is one of the things that our founders feared the most.
We're in today's world, though. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that is part of the march down through socialism, which is a transitional form of government that leads you to communism. But, you know, you were almost describing a commune. I mean, you want to be able to trade with other towns, other states, even other nations if you want to, whatever little...
Absolutely.
You know, community you have doesn't have all the resources it needs to survive. But I mean, what was given to us, Andy, really was a form of self-government because, the extremes of each end, total government on one end and complete anarchy on the other, in my view, are equally as repugnant to freedom and liberty. We're more on the anarchy side, but we're supposed to have just enough government, just the slightest little bit that those extreme elements that think that they, you know, where if I tried to steal your bicycle, that government would not allow that. That was your property, your constitutional right to have it. And government's only to exist just to protect those rights. And we've gone way beyond that. To call it a nanny state is an underestimation at this point.
I absolutely agree with that. It is an underestimate of this. Basically, what's happened to us is these people have got us into a corner. I mean, with these computers and these cell phones and stuff, I mean, just turn the power off and see what happens. I mean, we're in a world of hurt here. These people won't know what to do without their cell phone or their computer or, you know, Facebook. Just name your damn social network. Yeah, if they don't have it, it's not going to work for them. And the world has changed and everybody's going to be pissed off. And we're going to have a bunch of angry people running around just angry. And who knows where they're going to go with that. But, we're in a really bad spot.
Yeah, but you know what? We're tough. I've got faith in your average American. You know, we can do it. I know we can. It's just a matter of whether we're going to stand together. You know, I go back to it again. People are afraid to stand first. That, I guess that's what keeps me going, is every once in a while I bump into someone that says, you know what, you were right about that. You know, I'm with you, and they stood. They stood in their community and made something happen. So we got to stay at it. It's our persistence only that infuriates them. So what's your final thoughts, Andy? I got one more caller I got to get in here in the next few minutes.
Yeah. My final thing is that they're forgetting about the human factor there. Okay, because we all have a way of thinking about ourselves and you know, just grabbing some different ideas and stuff. So they're forgetting about the human factor, and that eventually is going to be a ploy in everything that they're doing right now, because we're going to come up with something, and we have no doubt. We have to have no doubt, because it actually has to happen, and it's the human factor, and I'll leave it with that. Thanks, Dave, for taking
my
call.
All right, thanks for the call, Andy. Appreciate it. I got one more caller on the line. We're going to get them all in today. Tom from Utah. How are you today, Tom?
Hi, Dave. I'm curious. I keep listening to RBN waiting for the answer to how to avoid the pill. How do we avoid being disabled when we're in this almost kinetic battle for survival? What's your solution? What's your remedy?
I don't know. Is there a single remedy? I mean, we've got to... You know, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So on an individual basis, we as individuals have to keep on keeping on, and we got to be as healthy as we can, because there's, you know, legitimate biological concerns out there. Be as tight as you can as a family. You know, and I'm a believer myself. Not everyone is. I've got friends that are agnostic and non-believers and whatever, and they struggle a lot more than I do with things. I say get right with God, and there'll be a sense of peace that comes over you, even under the worst of conditions, peace and calmness, because I'll tell you now, fear, anger, and panic are not good combinations, and will not lead to good outcomes. So I think we've got to be right in our head. We got to be healthy, you know, physically and biologically healthy. And we got to keep our families tight. Everything good came from a loving, nurturing family. So, yeah, other than that, a complete resistance and committed resistance to this tyranny. There's no one solution. As you attack it, you stomp it out everywhere it exists. So I guess I don't have an exact single thing to point to, Tom, is the golden key, is I don't think there is one. I think there's a million battles out there to be fought. Pick the thing that you're passionate about, that threatens you the most, and give it 100%.
See, my fear is all they got to do without firing a single shot is just close the doors to CVS, Walgreens, you name it.
Yeah, and it'd be walking
dead. Done.
Yeah, there's some people that have legitimate health reasons that they take medication for what they do, whether it's diabetes or whatever, which may very well be brought on and antagonized by our diets and such. But there's also people on the psychotropics, and that's what worries me the most, is those that can't cope and process daily struggles. Are all of a sudden going to be cut loose, unmedicated. You're going to see the withdrawal emerge as violence in the streets.
Yeah, I did work as a partner with Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. She wrote the book Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. Mm-hmm. And it is a fact that if a person goes cold turkey, they are... If they're not homo... if they're not... willing to take your life, they're willing to take their own. It's really freaky. You're not you're not medicated and you go cold turkey, it's a real trauma. You right. start to reconnect with the conscience of your brain, and that's overwhelming to a lot of people. Anyway, that's my great fear, is if they close the drug stores, a third of the nation is gone already.
Could happen. It's something we've got to be aware of. And it's a good reason for people to be prepared for themselves and what medications they might need and alternatives, what natural alternatives may be out there that they can be prepared for, because they don't want to be one of those on the streets. And like I said, it's not going to be a blue UN helmet crawling through your window at night. It is going to be your first sign of trouble. It may be your neighbor who's got a dying child at home thinking you might have something in your medicine cabinet that will save their lives. So please, everybody, be as prepared as you can. Think about your health and what you need. Is directly related to your independent security. Tom, yeah. Appreciate the call.
You got
any final recommendations for the folks?
Well, if you have a disease, it's your disease. You need to figure it out.
Yeah. And many times there are some natural things, dietary changes that can be done that'll help the situation. So it's incumbent upon us to research that. All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I got the bumper music coming in. I want to thank Chance from West Virginia, Earl from Texas, Andy from Texas, Tom from Utah. Thank you for the calls. Thank you to the listeners out there for tuning in this week. Definitely appreciate your company here every Sunday. Please do head over to republicbroadcasting.org, contribute and share, redpillpolitics.tv, get on the mailing list. And, hey, love and appreciate y'all. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there. We'll see you next week.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.